Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday, 8 days from the first round of the NFL Draft 2016 version. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank. We're back, Tony, in our stomping ground.
Hey!
On this side of town. Downtown, baby, is
it's
where we are.
Much more quieter over here today.
It's
a lot busier here.
That's probably
with
really
the players in for the, yeah, the off-season workout program has begun. It's go time down here at Everbank Field.
I resemble that bad English, by the way. It is go time down here. Tony and I are going to talk with Malik Jackson after the show today, and we'll bring you that interview tomorrow. He is certainly among the leading candidates to be the best, most impactful player on the defensive side of the ball today, Ryan. And that is our question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Give us your top three. Rank your top three players in terms of prospective defensive MVPs for the Jags this year. If you want to include a rookie in that list, you're going to have to guess which one that is. You're welcome to do that. Any three players that could logically be playing on the defensive side for the Jags this year, I suppose, are eligible as far as that goes. Off the top of your head, who's the guy that strikes you as the biggest impact defender for the Jags this year?
I think it's going to be Tayshon Gibson.
I think you're right.
Because I think he is going to be given some very simple duties in this defense, is go sideline to sideline and move forward and hit the guy with the football or intercept it. So I think he's going to have an impact. I think Devon House is going to take another step forward because I think the presence of Amukamara or another corner will help him get some better matchups. And up front, I mean, if I had to rank them, I'd go Gibson, House, first-round draft pick.
First-round draft pick, yeah. Over Malik. A lot of people are already suggesting Malik Jackson. I think it's tough for a defensive tackle or a guy who's going to be playing both inside and outside to be team MVP. Although, Sindarik Marks was the team, not only defensive MVP, I thought he was a team MVP 2 years ago. Depleted pool, you know, wasn't exactly rich with talent at the time. But, look, anything's possible, so cast your votes for whoever you think it is on that side of the ball. I know you got a chance to talk on a conference call yesterday with both Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. We'll get their thoughts on the draft through your eyes, and that's what we're doing, folks. We're counting down. 8 days left, 6-4-1-10-10 if you'd like to get on board today. And if you want to talk draft or any aspect of Jaguar or NFL football, you know the way to do it. Pick up the phone and dial those digits. It's also the text line, 641-1010, as driven by Duval Ford. You can tweet us with your responses to the question of the day at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony. And, of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is up and rolling this morning as well, where we have our 2016 draft contest. I'll tell you all about that, our prediction contest coming up in just a few minutes. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Be a part of it. Jaguars Today. It's picture day down here, by the way.
Everybody walking around in jacket and ties.
I thought, did they move up the draft luncheon, Tony? And has the dress code significantly stepped up from past years? But no, everyone getting their official employees of the Jaguars getting their pictures taken today. Tony and I did the same thing on Monday over at 1010XL, Ryan. But
apparently it's picture week everywhere.
We went golf shirt. You know, that's kind of how we roll in the sports radio thing. You guys, how frequently do you update your official staff photos?
That would be never.
Never?
I have my photo ID from the day I started.
Is that right?
And then I took another mugshot with a sport coat, which is my Twitter picture. So that's been two pictures.
Two pictures for you.
Yeah.
Hacker stopped, I think, when he was 16, Tony. What is that social media photo that he uses of himself?
Oh, I have no
idea.
It's
from like he's 16 or 17 years old, man, but he's looking sharp, the young lad is.
Looking out my back door.
Did you catch that the other day? The little CCR played again for O'Halloran, if you would, Tyler.
Dude, looking out my back door.
See, he thought it was dude. And we're doing a little crosstalk and misheard lyrics.
Yeah, William Hung, he's not.
No. All because of the Big Lebowski, by the way.
Is that the idol guy?
That's right. Because yeah. That song was in the Big Lebowski, hence he thought it was dude. There you have it.
Dirt.
All right.
I'm not supposed to know.
Got a little hacker fix in early in the program today. Let's be all about the Jags and the draft and all that stuff. Coming up, be a part of it, Metro Rooter Wednesday. Live at Everbank, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I wanna love you and treat you right.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today, Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, business, industrial plumbing, you name it. Plumbing issues, Metro Rooter has a solution. Same-day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment since 1978. Serving Jacksonville, MetroRooter.com is the website, 695-1911, 695-1911 is the call to make. Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Shut up, Dempsey. Let us hear Bob Marley. All right.
It's 420, right?
It is 420. Tyler knows. Tyler knows that today is the first day that the NFL can conduct all season
random
drug testing. It's unbelievable. I mean, the NFL is trolling the world right now with this. Huh? What? April 20th? I don't get it. Yes, if you are an NFL player who's not in the program, the drug program, where in which you're eligible to be tested multiple times all the time, whatever the case. If you're just a rank and file guy, from today through early August, they're going to get you once. And if you pass that test and you don't come up positive for any street drugs, unless you give them reason to, they can't test you again till this time next year.
Yep.
So everyone is going, please pull my name. Please call my name. Call my name early. Call my name early. Call my name early. How long can I hold out? Not everyone, but some, I'm sure, are thinking just that. So, if anything's going to come up, it's going to come up for the dummies, really, because you practically know it's coming. And those are the anecdotal. How much do you think, Ryan, you think it's still going on? Like, you hear anecdotes that these guys know. Not necessarily in any – I'm not saying the Jags. I'm saying in the league at large. Like, guys get wind. Hey, it's coming. You're on the list. You're gonna – do you think – it is as random as the NFL would like to have you believe, or do you think that information gets somehow filtered down the line?
I think it is pretty random. Give you a quick story.
Okay.
Is a friend of the family in Denver back in the 80s and 90s, retired government. He did the test for the Broncos players.
Okay.
So he, and also players who lived in that four-state area. And he would drive 4 or 5 hours into the boondocks. He'd knock on a door. They had no idea.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, and boom, out.
Now, did he select, or was that like a league
they
thing?
Were,
that...
They were said, Mike, you're driving to such and such today.
Such and such, and you go.
Here's the player. Boom.
Boom,
so,
go.
So
a limited amount of people that would know. I mean, very limited. Somebody who had to tell him,
yeah.
And maybe one or two other people. Somebody, yeah. You know, had to know, but it be difficult for that information, I guess, to be disseminated.
Because if you were given a heads up, then the whole system is completely flawed.
Right.
So there's no point then, really.
Of course.
But
we've heard that. I mean, haven't we heard anecdotal stuff like, hey, you know, you kind of know when they're coming for you. I don't know. You know, your example seems logical. That how the hell would you know if this guy gets a phone call, says, hey, go to player X's house right now, and he goes right there. And also part of it is, don't you have to make the NFL aware of where you're going to be, right? And they have to be able to get a hold of you. Even if you're on vacation, you have to be able to, I believe, go to a facility within a reasonable amount of time and provide a sample somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't say, hey, sorry, I'm on a two-week vacation to Australia and then try to clean out for 2 weeks. You have to be available and have to leave notice with the league and where to find you, how to get in touch with you.
Because, like, you see it on the whiteboard of the locker room at the end of each season. It says cell phone or find.
Right.
So that's the number one thing. That's the major piece of information they need is that number.
Right. Be able to get in touch with you. All right. Get into it. We'll talk about Mike Mayock updating his top overall prospect list a little bit later on in the show this morning, although – it always amuses me. Like, how does a guy fall? Noah Spence, for instance, fell out of his top five edge rushers. Why?
My guess on that, I've had a minute to think about it. We were talking it during the break, is post-pro day is when Mike really starts talking to teams.
And you think that he's getting information?
Yeah.
See, to me, though, then that's not your top five ranking list of the position. That's the league's top five ranking list of the position. Is Mayock trying to say, here's what the league feels are the best five players at each position, or here's who I feel in grading these guys? Because if his eyes tell him that Noah Spence is better than Kevin Dodd and Emmanuel Ogba, who both leapfrogged him in the latest rankings, then he should go with what he as an analyst sees, not if the GMs are like, hey, no, you're wrong about that. We think these guys, that shouldn't, in my opinion, if he's the analyst, he should stick with his opinion on these guys.
Well, I think that's the difference between Mike and McShay and Kuiper, whereas I think Mayock really wants to be right.
He wants to have the league view on his mock draft, which he only does the one mock draft, comes out on the eve of the NFL draft. And look, we understand the process. I kind of chuckle at Chris Burke at Sports Illustrated, and they're all this way, how they tinker with the possibilities on their weekly mock drafts. You got to update these things every week. There are probably a lot of instances where you're like, well, I don't feel any differently than I did last week. But you go in there and you say, all right, well, I had Dallas taking Bosa last week. Now I'll have him taking Ezekiel Elliott. Let's see how that turns out, right? And it's more like you get down to that final one. The only one anyone's ever going to really look back on is the last one you put out right before the draft, right?
Yeah, and, you know, you look at – we'll get into Mayock's rankings later, but the fact that he just lists them, there's no
– with no analysis.
With no analysis. Okay, like you're saying, okay, tell me why you dropped Spence two spots. Well, if you said – if it's because you talked to an NFC East GM who says that he's off their board and he's off other teams' boards, okay, that's legitimate. But if you're – I mean, you could be flip-flopping just for bleeps and giggles.
Right. I think it's probably more the former than the latter. But, again, just because you're off someone's board doesn't make you any less or more of a player, in my opinion. You know, you're the talent that you are, regardless of whether some team thinks you're too big of a risk to draft.
Well, I think that's what Kuiper's thing, and he announces that is – The character stuff, I'm not evaluating
right.
That. The injury stuff, you have to consider.
Sure.
But, like, you know, the all the other, like the Noah Spence thing, what they look at, okay, his production at Eastern Kentucky, his production at Ohio State. So that's why you see him getting a high grade, is they're not even messing around with the red flags.
All right. Well, like you said, let's push Mac to the side right now. We'll get to some of those rankings a little bit later on. You had a chance to talk with Todd McShay and Mel Kuiper on a conference call yesterday. So what stood out in terms of, I'm sure you wanted to know, you know, how they felt about prospects for the Jaguars. What jumped out at you about what they had to say?
In general, first, they're split on the quarterback. McShay's for Wentz, Kuiper's for Goff.
Is it they're split on who they think is better, or they're split on who they think the Rams think is better?
On who they think is better.
Okay.
I got in and asked Mel what I thought was a pretty easy question. I said, Mel, number five, the Jaguars. Ramsey and Jack are still on the board. Who you got and why? Mel started his answer. Well, that's Gus's call.
Honestly. Like,
well, of course it is.
It's like, which, and it really, do you think you're in the twilight zone? Right. No, it's not Gus's call. But in theory, okay, let's say he said Dave Caldwell's call. Okay, why are we doing this call again, Mel? I mean, this is your opinion. So were you able to force a pick out of him?
Well, he realized what he had said and said, this is paraphrasing here, Miles Jack would make a lot of sense in that defense. Ramsey's a versatile player. Jacksonville has already done a lot to improve that defense with Gibson and Mukamara, Malik Jackson. The linebacker, like Miles Jack, provided he medical is okay, I think he'd be a really good pick for them, but you have to consider Ramsey. But the free agent moves quarter and safety may push them toward Miles Jack. That is unusable for the newspaper.
So he didn't really make a pick, right? He gave you the reason why either one might be the pick.
Yeah. So McShay was pretty good talking about Ramsey. For San Diego writers, three too high for a safety, and Todd basically said what he should have said. Okay, if Laramie Tunsil is there, you take him if it goes quarterback. He was pretty critical of Ramsey. He said he sees him as a safety because of his hands. He said he dropped some interceptions. So he goes, the thing I struggle with is ball skills. Three interceptions last 40 games, none in his last 17. The ball skills on tape, he dropped a lot he should have picked. I liked what he said because he didn't say, well, he wasn't tested.
Right.
I watched Ramsey's Peach Bowl game. That's great. We're going to write about that in Friday's paper. He played 99 snaps in that game. They threw his way like twice. So I think the reason you would lean toward Ramsey is he does cut the field in half once he proves that he can cover in this league. So, you know, and both these guys hedged on Jack. This is a long answer, but both of them hedged on Jack. Well, it all depends on what they think of the medical. Well,
okay, but I think you have to go into and say, let's presume that they are satisfied with the medical, yeah. Right? Because that's how we've looked at it, Tony. We've liked Miles Jack ahead of Ramsey.
I don't know what the medical is.
But provided that they're okay with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's I can't assume to know how they feel about Miles Jack's medical. And if they don't like his medical, then he's not even a consideration at five at this point in time. So you can take it off the board. From the outside looking in, we won't know that until we get to draft night. And Caldwell tells us how they did or didn't feel about what they saw with Miles Jack's knee. Yeah. And we won't know that answer until then because they're not going to share that information until we get to the Thursday night of the draft.
And just real quick on Jack, you know, you saw the report, his knee's a time bomb. Well, from the Jags' perspective, they wouldn't have gone out there to work him out if they thought it was a time bomb. They would have already moved on from him.
Right.
Because the knee, it's not like the knee has gotten any worse. They just wanted to see it, they wanted to see it
in action.
In action. And for them to make, I mean, for, these are two guys that went to no pro days. So for them to go L.A. via private plane means they had questions and they were interested enough to go out there and get them answered.
Right. Look, I don't think there's any smoke screening going on. They're clearly interested in Miles Jack. But I think they're clearly interested in Jalen Ramsey as well. And I'm not convinced which one they will take if they're both available to them. I know who I would take. I know who Tony would take. You're a Ramsey guy over Jack. You have been. Any reason to change?
No. I would stick with Ramsey. But also, the more you look at it, does Shaq Lawson or DeForest Buckner make sense at five? You know, if the Jaguars agree with what these guys are saying is in terms of the edge rusher crop
right.
is not great, do you have to strike then and then circle back on the linebacker or corner in the second round?
All right, let's get to the phone lines for the first time today internationally. Get that plus one in there, baby, and that's where we're going. We're going to the Emerald Isle to start us off today, but it's not Irish Jaguar. Andre is joining us from Ireland here on Jaguars Today. Hello, Andre.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're good. How
good.
Are you? What's
Ireland.
Going on? Good morning.
Yeah.
Top of the morning to you.
Well, I have actually afternoon at the moment.
For you it
I'm
is.
Really
I know.
Doing good.
As soon as I said that,
guys, it's a time difference, but you know, it's all right. I have a question. Would it be surprising to draft two linebackers in first three picks? And then, what would you prefer? I would go with the first if it's Jack available. I would take this. And then I would use another pick for linebacker as the number three. Now, what would be better for a second pick, center or cornerback, in your opinion?
Gotcha. All right. Because,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Andre. Finish your thought.
Because I think the linebacker is the biggest issue that we have. The center, and that's the only piece we're missing in offense at the moment. And the secondary looks quite all right at the moment. So I would not use any early pick for that.
All right, so you would like to go linebacker, center, linebacker, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let us weigh in on that. We appreciate the call all the way from Ireland.
Of that scenario, I think the center part is more the most unlikely. I could see them going defense, defense, defense. Say they go Jack at five. I think they would go maybe corner or pass rusher in the second round.
Can they go three rounds without trying to address the pass rush at all? I know you can get pass rush from a linebacker to some degree in a 4-3, but as much as a 3-4.
Yeah, I mean if they go linebacker or corner at five, I think they have to go rusher in the second round. Or if it's dwindling in there, they go they pick a guy who's a 3-4 outside linebacker and say, okay, you're now a defensive end.
Right, you're a Leo.
You know, and I think in the third round, what I think they're angling at, they stepped a little bit away last week when I said, is the plan still Linder at center? And they said, well, we'll have to wait and see. That was more tepid than they had been earlier this offseason. So maybe there's a center they like in the third round, or there's a guard they like that if they that whatever's left there, then they'll make the decision.
Right, the best option if they can find a good guard that they like, and then they put a plug him in and put let him compete with Bernadotte and whoever else, and then Linder is your center. Or if they could find, I mean, you know, whether it's Ryan Kelly, he's the top guy in people's minds because he played at Alabama, he won the Remington Award. Russ Landy wasn't in love with him, right, Tony? The other day, I think we were talking about Ryan Kelly.
Yeah.
So I would be, I would put it this, me personally, I'd be surprised if there's two linebackers on this roster after the first three picks. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's likely at all.
On the center guard angle, Kelly is the only center or guard who's visited here. So maybe they got, maybe they're lying in the weeds waiting for targeting a guard that they didn't want out there. We know the names that have been here, but there's also been other guys. I'm told no center, no other centers, and zero guards. So
have visited.
Have visited. So they could,
how key is that as an indicator to you?
It's once you get out of the first round, it's not. Usually their first round pick has been here.
Right.
Sometimes their second round pick has been here too.
And they've covered the gamut with the potential first round picks, I think, in the range in which they'd be comfortable moving back if they got some kind of deal. Speaking of which, there's some deals that are being rumored. We'll get to those coming up for next week's draft as well. Andre and Ireland kick it off. We got a couple on hold. We'll get to you next segment as well. 641-1010. The phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford with Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey on Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I hear you percolating. Is that your coffee pot percolating there, Tyler?
It might be no
Tyler, your mic's hot. Tyler, your mic's hot. Your mic's hot.
No confirmation.
All right, fine. This is a group of friends hanging out at San Rafael High School. Look up the story. We're talking about the origins of the day. It's Wednesday is what it is, a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. We've got callers packed on the line, so let's get to them, guys. It's 641-1010. Jerome, next up from the west side, because it's the best side. Hello, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. Good. What's up?
Good. My question is this, though. I know that Ramsey and Jack is probably on their radar, but Jack, I think, has too many, like, medical problems or questions about him. And Ramsey, I don't know if you would draft him just to be a safety wing. He doesn't want to play safety. He wants to play corner. So it'd be hard for me to draft somebody at a position that they don't want to play. And then the other one is, I think they should go D-line if it's not that deep. They should go get their man, whether it's Buckner. I'm cautious about Boza, but at least Buckner, I think they should take a hard look at. Because if it's not that deep this year, you need to go get it this year, because I think you can get a linebacker in the later rounds. I just want to know y'all's opinion on that.
All right, thank you, Jerome. Appreciate it. Sounds like he has Buckner topping his board out of all those players.
Yeah. If this team drafts Jalen Ramsey, they've already said he's going to be a corner. Would you see him play a snap or two or certain packages at a safety hybrid? Yes. Buckner, they're obviously serious about because they brought him in. You know, he can rush the passer. He was more of an interior guy at Oregon. How does he transition to this defense? If you think he's athletically gifted, you draft him and you design stuff for him. So if they're set on defensive, if they decide, okay, they need to take a defensive lineman and Bosa's gone, like Buckner is the next rated guy.
The thing that worries me about Ramsey as playing corner is something Tony Pauline said to us. We're going to try to have Tony on Friday before we wrap up the week of draft coverage, in that he suffers, his play suffers greatly when he has to turn his back to the quarterback, to the football, right? And as a cornerback, you got to turn and run with guys, whereas a safety, the goal is a free safety. You're trying to keep everything in front of you, and you're reacting to what you see. And he thinks he's much better suited to playing safety in the National Football League. Now, that's one guy's opinion, but that has stood in my mind since he told us that a couple of months ago after watching the tape of Ramsey. But I agree with you. I think that they would have to play him as a corner. Deshaun Gibson is not chopped liver. I mean, this guy is was a big signing for this football team this offseason.
Yeah, and that's the first takeaway we had is when they signed Gibson. Okay, they either believe that Jalen Ramsey isn't going to be there at five, even if they like him, or if they do like him, he's going to be a corner. I like him. I would like him as a free safety because it just gives him more chances to make plays. Florida State in that Peach Bowl against Houston, woefully outcoached, completely outcoached, and they didn't match him up against anybody. They just kept him on his side and didn't take advantage of his skills. So if he's here, he's definitely a corner. You know, other teams, if San Diego takes him, they view him as a replacement for Eric Weddle.
I would think you're right. They do envision him as a replacement for Eric Weddle. Let's go to Mike in Ponte Vedra next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Mike, what's up?
I hear everybody talking about defense for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which makes sense. But honestly, if Tunsil is there at when they're picking, I don't know who their offensive tackles are right now, but personally, he would probably be the better choice because last fall, Blake on the Jaguars last year, they really had problems protecting Blake Bortles. I know they just they signed Calvin Beecham from the Steelers, but he's a better fit at guard than he is at tackle. So if he could put Joko at left or right and or right tackle, and then put Tunsil at left, what do you think?
I don't think Beecham's a better fit at guard.
Well, yeah, and he didn't sign here to play guard. I mean, obviously it's the team's right to move him around, but there were assurances that you're signing here to play left tackle. So as far as Tunsil there at five, they got two options. They can take probably the best player that everybody has at the top of their board, or they can wait for that phone to start ringing off the hook and start picking up an extra pick or two.
Do you think it will?
Why wouldn't it ring
off the hook with Dallas, right? Because Dallas has Tyron Smith. They're not going to draft Laremy Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they be the beneficiaries of making that move?
Well, I think Dallas looks at their pick and say, okay, they're not picking that high usually.
Right.
I think they want to maximize that pick and stay there. Now, if you're the Jaguars, I'm looking at the board across the room here. Baltimore at six. You know, San Francisco 7, Philly if they're 8. So
a lot of people think Baltimore would jump all over Tunsil, right, if he is available. So there is some logic to wanting to get ahead of the 6 pick mm-hmm. if Tunsil.
You know, then I think if you're there at 5 and Tunsil's available, I think a team to look at are the Giants at 10, who see who's in front of them. San Francisco needs a right tackle because they let Boone walk. They have Joe Staley. Joe Staley. He's getting older. So if I'm the Giants, I call Jacksonville at 5 and say, okay, we're sitting at 10. Ronnie Stanley may not be there, and we think they're pretty close. What about this deal? So I think what it would give is Dave Caldwell some options of say, hey, taking a player you never thought would be there or trading down.
You got to wonder though if you're sitting there at 10, and I know Tunsil may be a cut above, right? But let's say it costs you your second rounder to move up to 5, right? Just to make it easy, would you just say, hey, you know what? There are no tackles off the board. We're going to get one of the top 2 or 3 tackles, at least. We're going to get Jack Conklin, a lot of people like as a third tackle. Maybe we'll get Stanley to slide to us there. Why should we pay our second-round pick?
Well, I get that, and I'll flip it the other way. Okay, it's the same reason why L.A. wanted to move up. It goes to these conversations of, do the Giants think Tunsil, Stanley, and Conklin
are at all close?
If it's two guys and then a steep drop off into the 20s.
Or is it right? Is there a gap between Tunsil and Stanley and another bigger gap?
So I think that would drive the Giants' decision.
It would depend on, right, your overall rankings of these guys. Thank you for the call, Mike. Let's get one more in before we break. David in the Bay Meadows area, I think, wants to make you
territory.
Happy right now. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
Great. What's going on?
I'm really curious about Jaguars maybe taking a look at Josh Norman. I know they're looking at Jalen Ramsey. He's a talented athlete, but what about a guy that's already proven himself in the league? And I'll take the comments off the air.
I would agree 100%, but I always preface this with a laugh saying it would never happen. But
Josh Norman's what now, 29 years old? Something like that. I want to say he's 29. He's been around for a little while. I mean, he's an extremely good player. Was a contender for Defensive Player of the Year this past year. So he's one of the top cornerbacks in the game of football.
28,
okay. Josh Norman wants he hasn't signed his franchise tender, right, in Carolina. He wants a massive multi-year deal. And I think that's the reason if you're sitting there, you're saying, all right, do we want to bring in a guy who's going to be 29 this football season and we're going to have to pay him, I don't know, let's say $18 million a year, right? Or do we want to draft a guy, even if we draft a corner, let's say it's Jalen Ramsey with the fifth overall pick, pay him, say, $20 million over the length of the first 4 years of his contract and have him, you know, with much more ceiling to grow to because he's so much younger, he's so athletic. I think ultimately that's the direction they would choose to go.
Tyler, can we at least give that caller a prize for just being like the smartest call we've
had? You know what? If David is David still on the line, Tyler? If he
David's
is,
not here, but I'm sure he's appreciating the kind words. He's a smart man, right?
If he wants to call back, because Ryan doesn't, it doesn't. People don't make Ryan happy very often.
We got
to give the guy a T-shirt, seriously, and tell him to call back more frequently.
Call back.
When O'Halloran's on the program. All right, coming up, this date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL. More of your calls at 641-1010. We'll check in on the text line. We'll get to Mike Mayock's updated rankings by position. All these things coming forward right here on Jaguars Today. Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran, Mike Dempsey here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. 420 back in 1944. You know what the NFL did on this date in 420, 1944, Tony?
No idea.
They legalized it. That's what they did. They legalized.
Forward pass?
No. No. They legalized communication between the coaches and the players while the players are actually playing. Prior to 420, 1944. Coaches could not coach the players who were on the field. You could instruct guys on the sideline, but once they were on the field, there could be no communication from the coaching staff. It seems like that's the way football should be, the way it is now. They did make that rule that coaches, as long as they stayed within the designated areas along the sidelines, could actually coach as long as they don't cause an undue delay in the game. That's what they have the play clock for, right? So there you have it. The NFL legalized it on 420 in 1944. Birthdays for this date. Steve Spurrier was born on 420 in 1945. Yeah. He turned 71 years old today.
Birthday day.
Birthday.
Good day.
Birthday night.
Good day.
Got a good day for a birthday. He had one double-digit touchdown passing season in his 9 years. He hung around, man. He's got a nice little NFL penchant. 9 years in the league, of course. Was the primary starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks in their inaugural season. He was 0-12 of that 0-14 record as a starter. Former Jaguar for a minute, John Carney, born on this date. He turns 52 years old today, born on this date in 1964. Two-time Pro Bowler in his own right and a one-time first-team All-Pro. And the best linebacker in the game today, no, not Miles Jack yet, Luke Kuechly.
Mm.
25 years young, three Pro Bowls, three first-team All-Pro appearances, and that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Drew Rosenhaus has officially dropped Johnny Manziel as a client as of yesterday after the story last week regarding Manziel's party house and a visit to Coachella this weekend from Johnny Football. Manziel said yesterday, quote, "I'm hoping to take care of issues in front of me right now so I can focus on what I have to do if I want to play in 2016.
And by issues, I mean this pile of coke, this bag of mushrooms, and the little weed that I spilled on the table.
There certainly are issues. According to Walter Football, draft insider Tony Pauline is hearing from several sources that cornerback Mackenzie Alexander is, quote, a very difficult person to deal with off the field. Apparently, Alexander's coaches at Clemson haven't given the highly touted draft prospect the kindest off-field reviews either when asked about him, and that may explain some of the falling on some of these mock drafts here in the last week or so. The Cleveland Browns and Philadelphia Eagles, according to Alex Marvez, at least have the details of a potential deal worked out for the Browns. Number two overall pick in next week's draft. The deal, if it gets done at all, will reportedly see the Eagles sending their first and third round picks in 2016 and 17. That includes two third round picks this year, one next year, to the Browns to jump from 8 to 2 in this year's draft. Ian Rappaport is also reporting that the Chargers are busy potentially trying to trade out of the number three spot as well. In all likelihood, even if the 2 and 3 picks are going to be traded, it won't happen until draft night, though the number two pick could get moved before the draft if the Rams decide to announce who they will take with the number one overall selection before the draft were to begin.
If the Clemson coaches are saying that about Alexander, shame on them for smearing a kid before the draft.
Yeah.
There's ways to talk more finesse about that. And if I'm a rival coach, I'm telling these recruits,
right, why would you go there if they're not going to support you?
Yeah.
played his butt off for him. Now, you know, played his butt off. He never had an interception in college, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a good player. Clearly he was, or he wouldn't be in the first-round conversation, which he's been from the outset.
Yeah, and so I don't really like hearing that. Just like I don't like reading Peter, Mr. Commissioner King, smear job of Jalen Ramsey on Monday. Obviously he was doing that as a favor to somebody else, but it's just to me that seemed personal. Like, this and that's quoting his boys at Pro Football Focus or whatever, but it's just like, okay, if you have nothing good to say about a person, don't say it, at least on air.
I was going to say, wait a minute. How does this work for the people in this room as well? Or are we?
Hey, I'm a positive guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
This seems like a do as I say and not as I do type situation that's looming here for you, no?
Well, that can work too.
All right, now let me ask you this. Let's say the trade Tony just outlined with Philadelphia moving up to Cleveland, whatever the particulars are. Let's say Philly moves up to take the other quarterback, right? And the reporting is that Philly would do this deal now if Cleveland were willing to do it. Cleveland may be holding out for a better deal, which indicates, Tony, they'd be happy with either quarterback, right?
Maybe, or it may indicate that not necessarily holding out for a better deal, but just in case the quarterback they really like is actually available
right.
to them.
From Cleveland's perspective, yeah. Right. But Philly may like either quarterback.
Philly,
but,
yeah.
But so let's say this increases the likelihood of it going quarterback, mm-hmm. okay? Let's say Laramie Tunsil goes to San Diego, right, which I think would play into the Jags' favor, the greatest of anything there, perhaps Buckner going there. But how do you think the Jags, not what you think they should do, not what I think or Tony thinks or the fans want, how do you think the Jags stack right now, the top, we'll call them the top four defensive players, Bosa, Buckner, Ramsey, Jack, what order do you think the Jags have them prioritized?
I bet they have it Jack 1, Ramsey 2, Bosa 3, Buckner 4.
Okay.
That's just through conversation, you know, okay, tell me about this player. How does this guy fit? You know, I think Buckner was a guy under their doomsday scenario we talked about where no quarterbacks went in the top
Or maybe one quarterback and then three defensive players, yeah, and then you're stuck. Do you want to take an O tackle?
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, I got to take a defensive player. Might as well be Buckner.
He'd be the next one.
So that's my guess. So Jack Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, based on their needs, based on you know, how those guys perform. But that's a little semi-educated guess.
You mentioned, though, that if you're going to get a double-digit sack guy, 13 of the 16 last year were first-round draft picks, right? Mm-hmm. So you can never be sure you're going to be able to trade back up at the price you want to pay later in the round if somebody falls. So what kind of wiggle room do you give it that Bosa may be higher than one or both of those guys for them?
I will maybe, but the one wild card here, and Dave holds his cards pretty close with this top pick, is Shaq Lawson on the radar. I mean, he fills that pass rushing void.
You mean above one of these guys, or as a fallback if they want to move back a few spots?
I thought maybe as a fallback, but you don't hear a lot of chatter about him. If Bosa is not there, and if they're set right now saying whatever we do with that first pick, regardless if it's 5, 8, 10.
It's the best pass rusher we
got. Got to be the best pass rusher. If Bosa's there, take him. If not, do they consider Lawson as high as 5? Because you're reaching a little bit, but he's probably going to go in top 10. Top 15?
So top 15 at the worst.
Because he'll be overdrafted because of that lack of depth at the pass rushing spot. I mean, I always have to think when it comes to Dave Caldwell in the draft, okay, think of all the what possibility haven't we discussed that could end up happening? So I think, you know, let's put it this way. You sort of start researching Shaq Lawson a little bit. And one other team that I think is going to be a mover and shaker, you know, we talked about Philadelphia. Look at Tennessee at 15 right now. Is they have a satchel of picks to move up. One question I'll ask Dave, unless somebody else does before me on Friday, is: how against are you in philosophy of trading with a division rival.
Right.
Yeah. So
my guess would be he'd say, as long as we're getting back what we need to get back, you don't want to hand them. It's difficult. If you feel that Tunsil is the best player in the draft, but he's just not the best fit for your roster, which they may be the situation they find themselves in, do you want to hand what you think is the best player in the draft to a division rival? You're going to have to make them pay. And so I would think, look, I've always felt this in talking with Dave Caldwell over the last 3 years. If he ever moves back, if he's got a high pick like he's had, to make him move back, you're going to pay through the nose. If it would start with that pick, first round pick next year, plus, and it would, it, I mean.
Well, and I would want 32.
The first pick of the second round this year, right?
Yes. I think the least likely scenario with the Jags is that they move down. I think they're going to stay at five. You know, philosophy, okay, you could have your pick of the defensive board minus one player.
Circling back to my original point, if Jack's at the top of the board, I think if it goes quarterback, they're likely going to get him at this point. Because everything you hear about Dallas, or you hear frequently enough about Dallas, that Jalen Ramsey tops their board. But you also hear that they really like Bosa a lot. At least I've been hearing that they really like Bosa a lot. I think those are the two most likely picks for Dallas if all the defensive players are available to them, which in this scenario that we're talking about, Philly trades up or Cleveland takes a quarterback on their own, and it's quarterback, Tunsil, and you got all the defensive players and you're one pick away, I think they're going to take Bosa or Ramsey. If that's the case, I think it's – boy – I almost rather them take Ramsey and give the Jags the choice of the top pass rusher or Miles Jack and see which way they want to go, because I do think you can get some cornerbacks that can come in and play. If you want to take one with the 38th pick, fine. As you're suggesting, maybe in the third round, Ryan, fine. But I do think you can get cornerbacks later in this draft that, and you don't have the need to have a guy be walk in and be a day one starter at that position. With Amukamara and with House, you've got enough to get by, and you'll get Colvin back for week five or week six after the bye week, and his suspension has been served. It's not like you have to have a guy to line up and play today at that position.
And what I think that if it goes quarterback, Tunsil, Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, then you got the best player that you know, pretty much any player you want is what you've got.
But
that'd be an interesting scenario too. Look, if Miles Jack tops your board again, I think they're going to get him at this point in time. I think Miles Jack is going to be there at number five, and it has nothing to do with the knee. I just think that just reading the tea leaves. Now, who knows? Maybe Cleveland surprises us all and takes Miles Jack at number two. It wouldn't be the most out of left field thing. They could take Ramsey. They could take any of these guys. Bosa. Yeah. You know, that look, again, pass rush, always at a premium, right? He played in the state of Ohio, so you got the local connection with him there as well. I'm not saying that would propel him up their board, but he may be atop their board. There are enough pundits out there that still have Bosa as the number one player in this draft. You know, just because we sit here and say, I don't know, that may not be how the team – how do you think they feel? You have any sense on how they feel? Is Bosa an explosive enough player, a difference maker enough – to take at number five?
Yes.
You think they feel that?
Yes.
Not necessarily ahead of some of these other guys
he's talking about. They feel,
he's among their top five players on their board, you think?
Yes. If they took him at five, it's because they feel good, because they like him. Not because they're picking up sloppy seconds.
Right.
So one name that is interesting, they had him in the Senior Bowl, is let's say they trade down a little bit. Let's say hypothetically they go from 5 to 12 at New Orleans. Is Noah Spence an option at 12? Would they make that leap?
My guess is no. That's my guess. What do you think?
I think Gus would say he's going to be fine for us. In terms of his.
Well, if they pick him, they're going to have. I would believe that they feel that way.
If, the other thing, if you move down a little bit and you pick up, let's say you pick up an early second, do you try and move up into the 20s again and get them there after you've already made an original pick? So it'd be interesting to see what they think of Spence. Gus said he had good conversations with him at the Senior Bowl. And he's probably on their board, so that's another name.
Right,
But that was he made it a point to have quality time with
that. Oh, they absolutely did. He above and beyond the time he spent with all the guys on the roster, we know for a fact he spent extra time with Noah Spence trying to divine whether or not this guy would be a fit here in Jacksonville. And trust me, there are a lot of Jaguar fans out there that would love to see him in a Jaguar uniform this year. I just don't think it's likely to me until – now, you get a scenario where if you're able to trade back with your first pick and acquire extra capital to propel you back in the first round, it's one thing. Otherwise, I can't see it happening unless he falls to 38, which I think is unlikely. And even then, I'm not 100% convinced that they'd take Noah Spence at 38. So, look, I guess there's only one way to find out. Have him be available at 38.
Yeah, let's go into your scenario. You've been on the Jack train. Let's say they do that at 5.
Uh-huh.
At 38, in theory you would think pass rusher, but who would be left at that point?
There's no way of knowing for sure, but it could be an Emmanuel Ogba, could be a Nassib at a Penn State, you know, could be one of those guys that hasn't been mocked into the first round. Like Ogba's been a first, second round tweener kind of guy, right? Depending on the source you look at. So it would depend. I'm not saying I wouldn't take Spence, but I haven't vetted him. I haven't spent time with him. I'm going to say that if they take him, they feel really good that they're not going to have issues with him going forward. I don't think they're going to take that risk otherwise, because they did have that opportunity to get to know him as well as any coaching staff in this draft. So, I'm just guessing and trying to read the tea leaves and put them together a little bit. I don't think Noah Spence ends up a Jaguar. I think he likely comes off the board. You see him projected a lot, 19 to Buffalo, 20 to the Jets, somewhere in that range. I think he's coming off the board somewhere in the 20s. Probably some team, that feels like they're a piece or two away is going to take a chance on him. And that is the luxury sometimes of, being a good team, picking late in the first round can be a luxury in the way it frees you up to take a chance on certain players. All right, 641-1010 is the phone number. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back, take a look at the text line driven by Duval Ford, see what's on your mind this morning. Don't forget, question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this. Today, we ask you to rank your top three candidates for defensive MVP for the Jaguars in 2016. You can post your thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page or tweet any of us here on Jaguars Today. And we'll also run down the qualifications for the NFL Draft Prediction Contest that we posted on the Facebook page as well. You want to get in early. There's an advantage to getting in early to the contest, because that will be the tiebreaker if multiple people tie for the top spot. So we'll run down the entry on that coming up in just a moment as well. Tony Smith, Ryan O'Howard, and Mike Dempsey here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Well, I can tell you the number one defensive player on their board is as far as fuck now. Would they follow their board? How political do things get? Is that a sexy enough pick for them? Is the owner on board with that when you're picking that high? I don't know, but I can tell you I'm pretty wired into that building. That's their number one defensive player.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That is Jaguar Twitter's number one ranked NFL columnist, Jason Lockenfor, who joined us yesterday on the program. And it just goes to highlight, guys, we're talking about all these names. I think all the teams in the top 10 are probably looking at the same, 7 to 8 players outside of the quarterbacks that they're interested in for the most part. But how they order them is going to be completely different.
Sure.
Depending on team needs and just pure evaluation. Some people may look at Buckner and be like, outside of a 3-4, I just don't see it. Others may feel differently. And, Lock and Forest says he's plugged in to the Browns. So put it this way. If you're not high on Buckner, if you don't think Buckner tops or is near the top of the Jags' wish list at among the defensive players in this draft, then you'd be fine with that. If they don't trade out of there, Buckner going, just pushes one more guy down the board that you do have interest in. We'll get to Mike Mayock here momentarily, his top five by position rankings, but wanted to go over the contest we've got for the draft. You can get in now, and there is an advantage of getting in early. You can only enter on Facebook. If you don't do Facebook, just ignore what I'm about to say. If you do Facebook, good for you. And yes, I just did say do. Mm-hmm. So here's what we want. They have 8 picks as of now. So you go to the Facebook page of Jaguars Today, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Take you right there, and you should have it bookmarked anyway. You give us in a reply to the thread that is pinned to the top. The only one, don't start a new thread. Don't send me a direct message. Don't email me. Don't tweet me. Reply in that thread with a list of 8 players that you think are potential Jaguar draft picks, okay? Maybe you want to hedge your bet to say, I'm going to put Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa all in there. The point is to get as many of the 8 right drafted by the Jags during next week's NFL draft. Whoever gets the most right will win a nice prize pack. I don't know what's going to be in it. You know what? One thing we can offer him, Tony, we can offer him a one-of-a-kind Jaguars Today, come join us in studio experience, right?
Hey, yeah.
Why not, right? So Duval Doom, try to come back for your 5th time, right?
5-timers club.
5-timers club is the only one. We have to get him a jacket at that point. And have to get his size, so we have to do something nice for him. You know what? In other words, I'm going to put that off for a long time.
Yeah,
I don't have to do anything special. But in all seriousness, we'll put together a prize pack, and it will include the contamination survival kit. I did watch containment survival kit. I don't know what I'm talking about, Tony. Happy 420. Anyway, whatever we can throw in there. It'll be a bunch of silliness, but it'll be for bragging rights and eternal glory on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. So all the details are in there. You can only enter one time, and if you edit your post, you have to delete it entirely. Edited posts will not be accepted. What happens is the tiebreak is, let's say a bunch of people get 3 right. I think 3 won it last year, and we went to a tiebreaker. Whoever posted their entry earliest, that is the tiebreaker. So that way we don't want you just posting an entry and then editing it and tweaking it as more information comes out. So there's a balancing act. You want to be first in? Do you want to wait for more information to become available? I don't know, you know, if there's much of an advantage to waiting, because it's not like Dave Caldwell is going to go, here are the guys we're looking to draft rounds 2 through 7, Ryan. Here's our wish list.
I want you to win that prize pack.
Yes, I really want, because I hear that contamination or whatever they call that thing, containment thing is spectacular. By
just,
the way,
just don't put it in order.
Watch it last night. I'm on board. I'll watch episode 2. I got to pick up the intensity. I got to pick up the pace a little bit. I need the spread of the disease to get a little bit more fast paced. Let's go to the phone lines at 641-1010. Get Joe on the south side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. I had a couple of questions about the draft. The first one is the second round. If Jalen Smith falls, the Jaguars take him. And in the third round, if Aguayo was available, I know we did the punter in the third round, but this guy could be with us 10 years. Would they reach for Aguayo in the third? And finally, if Smith tumbles to the third, fourth, at some point, is there value in Jalen Smith?
The earliest they should probably consider Jalen Smith would be day 3, which would be round 4 to 7.
Right.
Aguayo, I doubt it.
Why not get Roberto Aguayo with the 5th pick?
Ooh, Terrence.
Every report you see about Jalen Smith isn't good.
No, he's got this drop foot thing, which just sounds horrendous. You can't really control your foot because of nerve damage and, you know, like your toes drag on the ground. That doesn't seem
amenable
to playing NFL linebacker.
No, certainly not. And look, no one expects him right now to be able to play in 2016. There's some concern over whether or not he'll be able to play in 2017. Honestly, there's concern over whether Jalen Smith will be able to really play football. And even if he does come back to play football, is he going to be the guy that you saw in this last couple of years at Notre Dame? I think there are serious questions to be asked about whether he'll ever be able to be that kind of football player again.
It amazes me that I still see pundits saying, you know, will some team late in the first round take a chance on him and give him a redshirt year? Man, it's one thing to tear your ACL. You know you're coming back when torn ACL.
Well, and it'd be nice to be a team that's even in a position where you could consider it, right? Where you're good enough from a roster perspective to say, yeah, we think this guy will be able to recover and be the guy that everyone said he was going to be. The Jaguars are not anywhere close to being that team.
No. Now, if you're Tennessee and you're in the second round and you have all these picks, maybe you're a team that can take a chance because you feel like you've got more shots at it. I still think it's highly unlikely that he goes to anybody in the second round, never mind the first round. And inexplicably to me, he still ranks as the number one linebacker on Mayock's board. How do you – I mean, What is he just ignoring the? It's not a temporary injury. It's not like he sprained his ankle and he'll be back next week. You don't know if he can ever play again, Ryan.
I mean, when you see that list and you see him still ranked number one, my first thought is, I just hope it's a mistake.
I can't believe it is.
He only graded five linebackers.
Believe it is. He's got Jalen Smith. He's got Miles Jack, Darren Lee out of Ohio State, Reggie Ragland out of Alabama, and a Jaguar Twitter favorite, or draft Nick favorite, Deion Jones out of LSU, tied with Jatavis Brown from Akron for the fifth spot. Edge rusher, by the way, for all you Noah Spence aficionados out there, he had him fall out of his top five. Previously, he had Noah Spence and Kamele Correa, the kid out of Boise State, tied for fifth. Both of those guys have been replaced by Emmanuel Ogba and Kevin Dodd. It's now Joey Bosa at the top, Leonard Floyd. This is edge rusher, as he calls the position. Leonard Floyd out of Georgia, second, ahead of Shaq Lawson. Emmanuel Ogba, fourth. Kevin Dodd out of Clemson, fifth. And so Spence falls out of the top five. We discussed that a little bit earlier on. Is he just hearing that kind of scuttlebutt that he's sliding on teams' boards because of the character question, which is interesting because Smith, Jalen Smith, has to be sliding on teams' boards because of the injury question. So I don't know what Noah Spence did to push himself out of the top five edge rushers over the last month or so since Mayock updated his rankings. Where else should we take a peek here? He's got Wentz ahead of Goff, by the way, at the top of the board. Does not have Christian Hackenberg in his top five, much to John Gruden's dismay.
Carl Joseph from West Virginia, the safety,
yes,
is gaining some steam, but he also has injury concerns as in his last year of college. So is somebody going to draft him based on what you think he's going to be in terms instead of what he's going to give you as a rookie?
He is, you see him often ranked as a top 40 prospect. Von Bell, I read a blurb this morning that a lot of teams secretly covet Von Bell, that they're trying to keep it quiet how much they really like this guy. You know, Ohio State could end up with a half dozen guys in the first round if Bell were to sneak in there. They actually have Keanu Neal down at number four, Kavare Russell out of Notre Dame. I don't hear much about him, certainly compared to Neal. Mayock's got Russell ranked ahead of Neal. Justin Simmons of Boston College is fifth. The corners, he ranks Jalen Ramsey as a corner, so he's got Ramsey, Vernon Hargraves, William Jackson, who we discussed earlier, Ryan, you continue to see him pop up late first round in mock drafts out of Houston, Eli Apple out of Ohio State, and Artie Burns out of Miami in there as well. So with Jackson rising up from the fifth spot to the third spot since his last rankings came out.
Was it Burns that yesterday when we were looking at the PFF Jaguars board, they had it like 150 for the Jags and like 141 overall?
Can we take a look? And I'll tell you because I got the board. It is. Good memory. They had him. Artie Burns, PFF, ranked 141st overall, which would make him what, a fifth round pick, or maybe with the compensatories,
somewhere
a fourth round
there.
Pick,
yeah.
Right? And he said he would, you know, they did a Jaguar draft board based on team needs compared to how they ranked them. And so they adjusted how they thought the Jags would rank certain players. And they had Artie Burns 150th on the Jags board, which is interesting. You know, who knows? They don't know any more than anybody else. How does this sound to you? Is this far off the mark? I know you're not a huge fan of Pro Football Focus. They suggested the Jaguars draft board, not that they draft them in this order necessarily, but that their board, because I don't think they take Jared Goff if he's sitting there. He won't be, but Bosa, Ramsey, Jack, Tunsil, Goff. They suggest.
Well, they shouldn't even put Goff on that.
Should
it,
right? Should he be on the Jags board? They would not draft Jared Goff under any circumstance.
I mean, they put it like people ask me this. Well, do they even put a grade on these quarterbacks? They put a grade on every player because it goes into their scouting system. But like to me, that list loses all credibility when if you're serious and you put Jared Goff on there.
Well, to me, you can suggest, okay, he'd be fifth on their board, but maybe they'd bypass him. I have a hard time believing that Jalen Smith would be 14th on their board. All right, and, you know, because
maybe 140.
Can this regime, they can't, like you said, fourth round at the earliest, right? You think that's you talking, or do you think that's the view of the team?
Well, that's my view. I've thought so little of Jalen Smith, I haven't even asked them. I mean, a question to ask on Friday, is he even on your board? Dave's usually pretty upfront about asking, answering those types of questions. What he'll probably say is he's on the board.
Not going to tell
then
you.
Then after
there.
The draft, he'll say, well, he goes, before the injury, he has first round. We had him as a fifth rounder.
Right.
So, but, you know, you hear McShay yesterday, and he was talking about Jalen Smith and say, he goes, how can you touch him before the fifth? You know, because this team is not in a position to draft projects. So, you know, maybe a team that has a lot of compensatories in the third, fourth, fifth round, I think that's where he'll go, somewhere in the fourth or fifth.
All right, we got to take a timeout here. We will come back and take a look at the fan feedback question of the day, asking you to give us your top three candidates for defensive MVP for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2016. We'll take a look at the responses when we come back in a moment on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, coming out of the stretch here, XL Primetime, top of the hour. We're going to bow out after this segment. Malik Jackson's going to join us in studio. You'll hear that conversation coming up tomorrow, including a pressing question that Ryan O'Halloran suggested. The hell number are you going to wear, Malik? Come on. You got to know. People want to get to the official team store and get some Malik Jackson gear.
I want to know why my name wasn't mentioned at all during his introductory press conference.
Seriously. Right? I mean, it was not much of an ask, Tony. Do
no.
you think he couldn't have forgotten
I
you.
Planted the seed at the Super
Maybe
Bowl.
Maybe he doesn't even realize why he's here. That it's one of those things that it's you got into his subconscious.
Inception.
You said, yeah, you planted the idea, and you said, just keep an open mind to Jacksonville.
Keep Jacksonville in mind.
That's it. Just think about it. Just think about it. $90 million, Malik. I've thought about it, and I'd like that.
Half
yes.
of 1%.
I would right. Half
that's,
of 1%.
That's all I asked.
And I want a half of 1% of your half of 1%. Just because. All right. Let's get to the fan feedback question of the day. We asked for your top three candidates for defensive MVP. Tony, give me your top three candidates for defensive MVP.
I'd probably put Gibson at the top. Telvin too, and I think they may be drafting whoever's going to wind up being number three on that list. But if I had to pick from somebody that is here, I'd probably go Devon House.
If it is Jack, then I would put Jack in that list.
Yes.
If they don't draft Jack, I don't think that any other incoming rookie is going to be in that kind of rarefied air. I don't want to put the expectation there, but, I mean, Fowler, if he gave you 8 or 9 sacks this year,
sure,
would be right there in the mix. And that may be asking a lot. He's basically a rookie this season. But, hey, we're asking a lot. All right? So let's get to it. Top three candidates for defensive MVP for the Jags. What do we get?
Here's what we got from Daniel. Number one, Telvin Smith. Two, Tashaun Gibson. And three, Dante Fowler Jr. From Demetrius, Malik Jackson, one. Rookie defensive player, number two. And Telvin Smith, three. From Kyle, Malik Jackson, one. Telvin Smith, two. Tashaun Gibson, three. From Cristiano, Gibson, Jackson, Telvin. From Irish Jaguar, Tashaun Gibson, Telvin Smith, Dante Fowler Jr. / Joey Bosa. At three, from Duval Doom, Dante Fowler Jr. number three, Telvin Smith two, Tashaun Gibson one. From Andy, Telvin, Jackson, Gibson. In that order, from Union Jacks Joe, Puzz, Jackson, Gibson. And from Black Dog Express, MVP, Telvin Smith, Malik Jackson, and Tashaun Gibson.
All right, let me get to the Facebook page here and see what we've got. Don't forget to go there and enter the draft prediction contest for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Somebody just asked me a good question on Twitter. He's from Pittsburgh. Is he eligible to win the prize pack? I don't know. You want to pay the postage? I'm not sure about that because, you know, if it were just something simple like a T-shirt, we'd mail it to you. It's going to be, you know, in terms of you coming into studio, we're not flying you down here, buddy. So if you can make it down here, then sure, why not? If you're a Jaguar fan from any part of the world and you win, but that's on you to get here. All right, let's get to it. Candidates for MVP. Oh, boy, this is unfortunate. Your top three candidates for defensive MVP for the Jaguars. Seth went with Chris Ivory. T.J. Yeldon.
It's only going to get worse than what, Bortles?
And, no, but he has rationale. And the offensive line. He says Hold on. He said, but he tries to say that being able to run the ball this year will keep the defense off the field, and that is a much better defensive strategy than actually playing defense. No, all right. We're not buying. Dwayne Grotz, Demetrius McCray, Josh Evans. I'm sure.
How many of those guys are even going to be on the team?
Well, and that was
that
his point.
That guy's a believer.
They're all MVP candidates because they won't be on the opening day roster. Therefore, I won't be cussing at the TV along with everyone else. Boy, Dave Caldwell loves him some Josh Evans, doesn't he? He really does. Tayshaun Gibson, Telvin Smith, and Posluszny from Cameron in there. Also, he has a question. What do you guys think about cornerback William Jackson from Houston in a trade down? Could he be a pick? Unless it's Ramsey, I don't see the Jags going cornerback with their first selection. I just don't.
Yeah, because if you're set on going with corner, just stay put and your guy could fall to you.
Yeah, right, he could fall to you, and if he doesn't, I don't love any of those guys enough that I think you're going to get a – if you want to do that, I think you're going to have an option to draft a pretty solid corner at 38 if you want to go that route. Let's see, Dante Fowler Jr. for Joshua tops the list with Malik Jackson and Telvin Smith coming in. Hashtag Jaguars today, like that. Gibson – Telvin and Malik, Telvin, Gibson, and Dante, Fowler, Gibson, and Telvin. So a lot of the same ones, but some honorable mentions listed in there. Well, you just named pretty much half the defense, Damon. We appreciate it. But and then Malik Jackson topping Steve's list. Again, think it's going to be tough. But since Derek Marks is the defensive MVP of this football team 2 years ago, you have to make your impact, though, I think, in the statistical column of sacks to do that. Within the team, however, Ryan, I mean, the team may vote a guy MVP because they recognize his defense when they watch the film every single week. I think, you know, the consensus defensive MVP of the team is going to be a guy who makes more splash plays.
Yeah, and that's why you see Telvin up there.
Absolutely.
If he can make the next step and produce more fumble recoveries and interceptions, he's going to be close to triple digits in tackles if he's out there for 16 games.
Where do they use Jack if they draft him right away? Is he their strong side linebacker for the early downs and then moving to the middle on third down?
Because
you got to figure he's covering guys on third down.
Yeah, and he'll definitely be a three down guy. I think on third down for this year at least, I think it'd be Posluszny and Jack. Because I think Jack and Telvin are going to be a pretty good competition in camp to see who that second linebacker is on third down.
But does Posluszny give you much in coverage on third down?
They believe he still has a value on third down for at least this year.
Interesting. All right.
So I think if I'm Telvin Smith, I don't want to see them take Miles Jack.
Interesting.
That's sort of just one theory that I have come up with, because that's the question I had is, okay, if you take him, how big of a fan is this regime of Telvin Smith? Because I saw some things that weren't great, but I think maybe he's one of those guys you want to create competition. Ideally, then in 2017, you have Miles Jack as your Mike, Telvin Smith as your weak side, and then you sort of start over at the auto.
When you say things you've seen that are not so great, what do you mean?
I think he makes a lot of tackles, but he doesn't make those splash plays. I think he has to be a guy that makes more turnovers and doesn't miss as many tackles.
Gotcha. I think he has the potential to make more turnovers.
I think so, too.
He puts it together. What are you putting together in the next few days?
Stuff.
Like what? Come on.
In Friday's paper, we're looking at we think is the top four candidates would be Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner. I put on the tape cap, watched only one game of each of those guys, and some of my thoughts. I talked to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley about those players last week to get their analysis. Pre-draft lunch and coverage Saturday's paper. And then Sunday's paper worked on a project where I looked at every team's draft pick over the last 10 years. How many started games? How many made Pro Bowls? And how many picks each team had? The Jaguars are tied for last in number of Pro Bowlers drafted. And they're in the bottom third of guys who didn't start a game. So
something warm and fuzzy for Jaguar fans to wrap their arms around.
Yeah, and because the fans know this team hasn't drafted great.
Absolutely.
And we wanted to do a project saying, okay, how does it compare to the rest of the league?
All right. Next week, I'll be up in Chicago on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I know you're going to be in with Tony on draft day next Thursday.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday's our media mock draft, so we encourage folks to tune in for that. And again, the only way you can enter our draft prediction contest is by going to the Jaguars Today Facebook page, and you reply to the thread that's pinned to the top. You need to list 8 potential draft picks for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The person who gets the most correct that end up on the team will be the winner of a fabulous, fabulous, unique, one-of-a-kind prize pack that you can get nowhere else. Hence the words unique and one-of-a-kind and all those other redundant sayings in there. All right, thanks again to Metro Rooter for bringing us the show every Wednesday, as they do. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, give him a follow at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter if you don't already. And for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. XL Primetime straight ahead right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.